This is Steve Cochran. Welcome to Live from My Office. Smell that? That's hot dogs on the crack of the bat. Steve, you can't smell the crack of the bat. You know what it is? It's baseball season. And Mike Farron from SiriusXM and ESPN is here to preview the big league baseball season ahead. Very exciting. And Farron's the best. He knows everything about baseball. As a matter of fact, the majority of time at home, he's covered in pine tar. And frankly, that's none of my business. At least it's not a rosin bag, which was his nickname in high school. All right. So listen, that's coming up. But before we get to Mike Farron, I want to get to this. Donald Trump said he would call. And there's a lot to talk to the ex-president about. And, you know, I regret these calls, but yet I take them. So really, who's at fault here? Grabbing the phone here. Congratulations, former President Trump. You reached the number of delegates needed to clinch the Republican nomination for president again. Welcome, Donald Trump.
Winner, winner, KFC fried chicken dinner. That's right, Cochran. I'm the nominee again.
Well, as I said, congratulations on your nomination.
I blew everyone out. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It was no competition. Everybody loves Trump. And again, as usual, I won it fair and square. Unlike Sleepy Joe and all of his cheating friends.
Now, see, this is one thing that has never made sense. When you win the vote is fine. It's legal. When you lose, it's always rigged. How does that make sense?
Seriously? What is so hard to understand, Cochran? When I win, I win. When I lose, obviously someone's cheated. What's wrong with you, Cochran?
Yeah, it sounds like Trump math. And what about the stumbling, stammering old guy stuff?
You're right. Biden is really too old to be president. We should look into that.
Actually, I was talking about you as well.
Loser says what?
All right. And when there's video evidence of you lying and saying things that didn't happen, you always say, no, I was kidding.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Well, what about the promises you didn't keep? Mexico never paid for the wall. You didn't fix the border when you were president.
I keep a lot of promises, a lot. You need to lighten up, Cochran. Meet me at Taco Bell, and I'll buy you a chalupa.
Oh, okay.
On second thought, cash is a little tight right now, so you'll pay for mine.
Okay, all right. We're moving on.
Not so fast. It's a fantastic accomplishment. It's fantastic. And I gotta be honest, if I wasn't completely incapable of producing any tender human emotions, I probably would be a little teary-eyed right now.
Well, I know that the issue came up during Sunday's Oscars with Kimmel, right? He read your Truth Social post criticizing his hosting ability and...
Which was horrible.
And then he hosted, then he roasted you. He said, isn't it past your jail time? And then we found out producers told him not to do it, but he did it anyway. Look, where does it stand between you and Kimmel?
Okay, make no mistake about it. Jimmy Kimmel needs to watch himself because he's treading on very thin ice, okay? Believe me, he doesn't want to go to war with me, Cochran, because if he does, when I become president again, the first thing I'm going to do is have the INS round up his little sidekick, to Geronimo and his wife and their 12 children and send them right back to Guadalajara.
That's just wrong. Listen, speaking of Truth Social, you referred to yourself as Honest Don in a Truth Social post about Biden. You called him Crooked Joe. You love the nicknames. Did you come up with the Honest Don thing?
I most certainly did. Honest Don. And once you get past the fact that it sounds like I own a chain of discount stereo equipment stores, it's a pretty cool name. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I actually have a couple others that I'm going to be testing out. Would you like to hear them?
Oh, sure. I got time.
Okay. How about Magadon? No, I don't think that's going to work. It makes me sound like one of those stupid cars in the Transformers movie. Okay. How about this one for my Latino supporters? Are you ready? Don Harrio.
No.
You know, because of my beautiful hair. It's all real.
Yeah.
Like Don Julio, the tequila.
Yeah, no, I get it. Look, independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in the news. He said there's two men at the top of his VP list. Jets quarterback, ex of the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and former Minnesota governor pro wrestler Jesse Ventura. What do you think of that?
Well, I think those are two excellent choices, and both of those guys would make great running mates. And I really, frankly, wish that he would...
Hold on, sir. I think we have the former governor. Is that right? Jesse Ventura on the other line. Mr. Ventura, it's been too long. What a bit of a surprise here, but welcome.
Hey, hello, Steve. It's a pleasure to be on with you and Mr. Trump. I just wanted to clarify a couple things about the possibility of me being RFK Jr.'s running mate.
Okay.
First off, the only reason I ever even said maybe that he was somehow able to track me down, even though I live completely off the grid in Baja, Mexico, where I am deprogramming and retraining a very highly intelligent, shape-shifting breed of chupacabra, who I believe were airlifted into the region by the U.S. government to disrupt our southern border.
This is probably something we should take up at another time, but I thank you, Governor. It's good to reconnect with you. Let me get back to you, Mr. Trump.
Yes, please.
Robert De Niro in the news, criticizing you again. Several years ago, wanted to punch you right in the nose. Earlier this week, after you had a bit of a moment, he called you a low IQ. He said greatly diminished. He said about you, he said he's so effing stupid and he's an effing moron. He's dangerous. We got to get rid of him. What about De Niro?
Well, what I can say that I haven't already said about good old raging bullcrap, he's just a miserable old man, Cochran. He's miserable. Do you know he just had a baby with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
He's an 80-year-old father of a newborn. That's got to be great, huh? He gets up in the middle of the night to change the kid, and in the morning, mom goes in and sees he's wearing a pair of Bob's Depends. So sad. And I'm effing stupid? I'm the effing moron? This is coming from the guy who starred in the legendary blockbusters The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle and Dirty Grandpa.
Well, it appears by the old clock on the wall, Mr. Trump, that we're about out of time. But I thank you for your time.
Later, loser. Mm-hmm. Where are we on that chalupa, huh?
Yeah, let me get back to you. It's Donald Trump, everybody. It's my friend for life, Mike Farron, from... Well, your credits are getting way too long. You tell everybody where you were.
Mostly MLB Network Radio. I cover Major League Baseball, and then you'll catch me obsessed with college baseball on ESPN, too.
Which is great. So yeah. You're one of the best in the business. You've loved this game forever. And nice to connect with you whenever we can. Chicago, of course, is still your town, so we need to start in this Major League Baseball preview with the Cubs and the White Sox. Let's go with the White Sox. Is Dylan Cease okay? Is a little porn stash going to curl up on each end? I mean, the guy seems like a hell of a pro at 28 years old to be told before the season, we're getting rid of you.
I mean, is this one of those you're concerned, like blink twice if you need help, Dylan? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Dylan, bark twice if you're in Milwaukee.
So I was in White Sox camp today. First of all, he's gone with the full beard now. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he is looking rugged. As you would expect, awesome. The vibes, they are very good in White Sox camp, which is nice. They are, things feel good, even though everyone kind of behind the scenes is like, we'll see whether or not it translates on the field. But, listen, they're in a position where they are not likely to contend this year or probably next. And as a result, that's why Cease's name has come about in a lot of the trade rumors, because he's a pretty darn good pitcher and he's 2 years away from free agency. So I would anticipate, based on the conversations today, that once we get to June or July, that Dylan Cease is probably wearing another uniform. But enjoy him while you can, Sox fans. It's your chance to see him. And listen, like, they can't be much worse than they were a year ago, right? They are going to be better defensively. I think they do have more pitching depth. I don't know that it's going to be a much better offensive team. The bottom four spots in their lineup could be unproductive, but they're better defenders, so it's a little bit of a trade-off there.
They were base running last year like kids in a T-ball game.
Yeah.
Is this manager the right guy to at least have them do fundamental baseball?
Well, he seems energized by the team that's in front of him. And listen, Pedro's a pretty smart baseball guy. I know it didn't feel that way to Sox fans last year, and I know a lot of his answers in press conferences left something to be desired. But I think, I mean, that's the emphasis, right, is on fundamental play. And I think it was, I mean, this is my read on it, right? He walked into a situation with a lot of veteran guys, and when you're a first-time manager, even though you're the boss – in sport where everybody is in close quarters for as long as they are. With baseball, you tend to defer to the clubhouse. And I think by the time he identified what the issues were, that it was too late. So it was instead of like getting on the train at a station, I don't think he realized that he was jumping on while it was still going 70 miles an hour down a hill towards a cliff. So yeah. which is really odd to think about if you're going down, I guess, probably more like a mountain towards a cliff. So
we have a lot of those in Illinois, as you know.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, it's very mountainous. It's known for its high elevation.
It's where we go to yodel.
Yes.
So
that's actually someplace in Bannockburn, I believe, right? Is the yodeling.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So the team basically gave up 2 years of potential in this last two seasons and now, you know, is in some form of blow it up. But Jerry Reinsdorf wants a new stadium.
Right.
And it's not a great negotiating stance, even though he appears to be talking with the Bears about a two stadium deal. Jerry's, you know, closer to 90 now than he is 80, I believe, and he wants to get something done while he's still here. What kind of negotiating stance could he possibly have with a bad team on the field that draws 12,000 people a night?
Well, I think it's probably less about the record and more about the vision of what's going on. This is the least, you know, remember, I'm doing this from what, you know, 25 hours drive away. So it's not, it's basically like living in the South suburbs.
Yeah, you know,
but it's
a
far
the
Southwest
bigs.
Suburbs. So,
yeah.
But I don't know, you know, I have been a real estate investor on the radio. No, actually never. But so my understanding is that with the group that is trying to build the stadium as part of what they're creating in the 78, that I think they view this as an anchor tenant kind of business. And of course, the old ploys of trying to get public financing are happening. And we saw Jerry in Springfield a couple of weeks ago meeting with lawmakers and giving the threat of, well, if we don't get the deal done, we might have to move, which
we might go to Oakland. I hear there's going to be a vacancy.
Which my favorite part of this is that he essentially said that the last time he did that it was all a sham. And then he expected us to forget about it. But yeah. I mean, that's always the case, right? There's what's happening with Oakland and Las Vegas is very unusual. Teams don't generally move. So it's just a matter of whether or not this you know, company that's trying to build this neighborhood feels like the White Sox and now sounds like the Bears are appropriate anchor tenants, and how much they're willing to front, because I don't think that either ownership group is going to really want to throw in a whole lot of cash. But if they do get this done, I think it could be a game changer for the White Sox in terms of, if not anything else, curb appeal. And you know, I feel like Guaranteed Rate Mortgage Field is a little bit underappreciated. It does have some of the best food in the big leagues. I think since they did the renovation back in 2000, that it's a much more homey place to watch a game. But man, like having something in the South Loop with a view of the Chicago skyline, I mean, that's the dream. And like, all you have to do is go over to UIC's baseball field to see what that could be like, because that has the best skyline view of any ballpark in America.
Yeah, nobody goes there. Nobody knows.
No, nobody knows.
So you're right about all of it. And as a White Sox fan, I hope it comes through. But for people that are going to make the trek and park in the very reasonable parking and eat the great food, what's going to be on the field other than Dylan Cease? Give me two or three guys to watch.
Well, I think it's a lot of the similar names from the past, right? Like, I'm a big Dominic Fletcher fan, who was the guy that they got in the trade from the Diamondbacks. Really good defender in the outfield, probably more like a top of the order hitter than a middle of the lineup guy. He was a big star at Arkansas. He's going to be a guy that I think on a contending team is probably more like a good fourth outfielder. Think a John Jay type than, you know, necessarily a star on the corners, but he's going to be fun to watch because he'll steal bases, makes good contact. He's going to play a really good right field. So I think he's one guy. I mean, Eloy Jimenez looks terrific and he's healthy. You know, if he plays 150 games, like he's going to put up some monster home run totals. And Luis Robert is like one of the 20 best players in baseball. So, I mean, it's worth the price of admission to go and see Luis Robert play, as far as I'm concerned. Sure. I mean, that guy's sensational. So as long as he's able to stay on the field, it's not like they are completely lacking of entertaining players. And I think the viewpoint will be much different than it was a year ago, which was essentially mourning the closure of this competitive window faster than we could have expected. Nobody expects the team to be very good this year. They're kind of us against the worlding there, but at least there's some entertaining players in the mix. And Robert Ray is the headliner in that.
It's on the north side. The Cubs have gotten sneaky good kind of fast. And there's a lot of people who claim to be experts. They're not Mike Farren. They claim to be experts who say the Cubs could make a run this year. Agree or disagree?
I don't know that they're a whole lot different than they were last year in the end. I mean, what, did they miss the playoffs by a game, right? So I guess if you want to say they made a run, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably pretty similar. I mean, if you think about it, their biggest moves were bringing back Cody Bellinger to replace Cody Bellinger and then bringing in Shota Imanaga to replace Marcus Stroman. And Stroman was great in the first half and obviously struggled for a month and then was hurt for coming back out of the bullpen. So I don't know that they're much better. I know everybody is really excited about this collection of Cub prospects that's coming. It's just that this group that's coming is more solid players than the last group, you know, nearly a decade ago now, when it was Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and, right, you know, even Addison Russell and Javier Baez and like these impact talents. These guys are good players. I think Cade Horton, who was their first rounder 2 years ago, has a chance to be pretty impactful on the mound. But I think it's more, there's not one of these guys that you look at and go, man, that's a superstar. So I think that's part of the difference. I think there are more guys that are solid players in the mold of like a Nico Horner. So like, you're going to hear a lot about Matt Shaw, probably, who was their first rounder last year out of Maryland. Matt Shaw is a really good player. Matt Shaw, if he ends up playing third base for a good chunk of the season, is, you know, if he actualizes what he can be and he doesn't have these monster struggles, is probably like a solid average third baseman. And what they really lack is that kind of monster. You know, we always say like 900 OPS, your on base plus slugging percentage, that kind of monster in the middle of the lineup. Bellinger had a year kind of similar to that. The one guy who could change the equation for them is if, say, a Suzuki second half is a precursor to another step forward. And so I'm a little bit more skeptical of them being like a bona fide playoff team, but they're definitely going to be in the mix. And I think that's part of what should make this summer fun, is that National League Central is five teams that are really pretty good. Even Pittsburgh should be, you know, much more competitive than they had been the last couple of years. I mean, they won, 76 games last year. And so it's up for grabs. And that is exciting, but I wouldn't go so far as to call the Cubs the prohibitive favorite in the division either.
Craig Counsell for David Ross, good or bad?
Well, I feel for Rossi. I mean, he's one of...
All he did was everything favorites. They asked him to do.
Yeah, but for my money, Craig Counsell's the best game strategist that there is. So I think it's a net positive, but I think, again, it's just like, how many games does a manager really make a difference
still five?
In the course of the
season? When I was a kid, it was always five. Five plus or minus.
I think it's probably, if it's a real impactful guy coming from somebody who's below average, then maybe it's five. I mean, if it were one win a year ago, that would have put the Cubs in the postseason, probably, or right. Two wins, you know? So
right.
I think it's going to be a couple. I think they'll do a better job of a different job of managing the bullpen. I don't want to criticize. I think Rossi got him fairly criticized for some of the bullpen stuff last year, but I think Counsell is one of the best at getting the most out of his lineup, getting the most out of his pitching staff. And so, yeah, I think he will make a difference. Plus, you get 5 years of Craig Counsell face every time there's like a missed 1-1 pitch, which is just the best. It's like, nope. Like I know, because he's close with Boog. I guarantee you Marquis will have an ISO cam on Craig at all times, just so you can see his reaction.
See the puss. Yeah. And Boog is Boog Shambi, who you guys know. All right. So we'll do what we always do. We'll go around the league, but a couple of stories first. One of the greatest names in Major League Baseball is about 4 years old or 5 years old now. It's this kid, Jackson Holliday. If Jackson Holliday is not a star, it's going to ruin my summer, because I love the fact that his name is Jackson Holliday. This is the Orioles kid, right?
Yeah. So probably going to play second base for them this year. Son of Matt Holliday, the former Cardinals legend, Cardinals and Rockies legend.
Great player.
Yeah, and Jackson is left-handed hitting, middle of the lineup, force down the road. I mean, I think he's going to get there this year. He's going to probably play pretty solid defense at second. I don't think the power is going to be all the way there, but the dude can really hit. And you know what's really funny is that he isn't even the best of Matt's kids, probably. The ceiling on Ethan. Yeah, Ethan's going to be a 2025 draftee. He's like 6'4" with crazy power. And so like Jackson's really good. There's a chance that Ethan is better in the end. So it's pretty exciting. And you know, like, I don't know if you know Matt at all, but like, the Holiday family is awesome. Matt's just an unbelievably good dude. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. You know, their dad, Tom, is a legendary college pitching coach, too. So, you know, Matt's brother, Josh, is the head coach at Oklahoma State. So it's a really good baseball family. And Jackson Holiday is the top prospect in baseball. Yeah. And he's going to play on one of the most exciting teams this year in Baltimore.
Yeah. Jackson Holiday, by the way, if it doesn't work out, what a great name for a male porn star. Hmm? Yes. Yeah, there you go.
I think your world is your oyster when your name is Jackson Holiday.
Pretty much. If you go out west, this is not an imminent edge of the seat story, but if you're truly a baseball fan, you got to think of Ernie Banks playing an entire career with the Cubs, never sniffing the World Series. Is Mike Trout going to be that guy?
It certainly is not trending in the right direction, right? So,
Does he want to leave Anaheim?
No, he doesn't. He wants to win there. I think there's a sense of loyalty to Mike Trout. Yeah, he's a Philly kid, right? And Philly folks are pretty loyal. I do think he wants to compete and he wants to win. I think the problem is that they're kind of in this limbo where they aren't given the resources to increase the talent level they need to on the major league roster, but their entire front office is essentially on notice that if they don't win, that they're going to be fired, which has been the vicious cycle over the last decade for the Angels. You know, this is an organization that hasn't had a problem spending on star players, but then they do incredibly cheap things like not traveling their radio announcers, which is just unbelievable. It costs you $30,000 a year to travel one radio announcer. We're talking about a team that's worth several billion dollars, right? So I don't know, maybe Artie Moreno ran out of billboards he could sell, but I think they're not going to be very good, right? Like they're going to be, I don't think they're going to be terrible. I think they're probably, you know, slightly below 500 team, which is where they've been mired for most of the last 5 or 6 years. And I think one of the other issues with Trout is that he just hasn't been healthy consistently over this last stretch.
And about 75 games a year for the last 3 years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, he wants to play more than that for sure. If he can get 130 games out of Trout, I think he'll put up pretty crazy numbers. He said he found a big mechanical adjustment this winter that he feels like he wasn't completely right. And he had the worst season of his career last year, and it's still better than 95% of ball players' best season. So
that's healthy. Realistically, how many years has he got left?
Well, I mean, he's signed until he's, 42, I think, right? So, and he's 32. Maybe it's 41 that he signed to. I think he's probably got three prime seasons left. And then you're talking about kind of decline phase and like maybe not quite as good. But I would expect that he's still going to be pretty productive. I would say that moment when they move him to left field is the moment when you start going, boy, this is, you know, we should appreciate every last second we have of Mike Trout because we may never see anybody like him again.
Yeah, and of course, the other Angel story is Shohei Ohtani goes to, 2 hours north? Well, not even, 45 minutes north if traffic's right.
It depends on traffic.
What are the Dodgers doing?
What are the Dodgers doing? They're just adding as many good players that they can. I mean, you know, Ohtani...
They feel like the Golden State Warriors. There's only one basketball. I mean, right. What are you going to do?
The good news is that they can put 9 people in the lineup as much. Listen, the Dodgers won 100 games last year, despite the fact that their starting pitching was in disarray for most of the season. Now, Ohtani is not going to pitch this year because he had elbow surgery last season. That's going to cost him the year, but he is DHing. I mean, he's playing against the White Sox while we tape this. Back-to-back days, he's going to be in the lineup opening day. But the other big expenditure they had this winter was on Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is a 25-year-old right-hander from Japan who got the richest contract for any pitcher ever, and is really exciting because he's got really good stuff and he knows how to put the ball wherever he wants to. So, with Yamamoto, the trade for Tyler Glasnow, who has been kind of an ascendant star for most of his career in Tampa Bay. He's just battled a ton of injuries. You know, with those guys coming into the mix and with James Paxton signing and Walker Buehler coming back from Tommy John surgery, like they have the makings of a really good roster. They're not perfect, though. And I think they have spent all this money to put themselves in a position to be one of the best teams in the National League. But if you were to line them up on paper next to the Atlanta Braves, I think 9 times out of 10 or 95 times out of 100, you're going to take Atlanta's team over the Dodgers.
And that's a perfect segue into going around the league. Does anybody touch the Braves in the NL East?
Touch, probably not, but the Phillies are really good. I mean, I think that's the thing is, you know, listen, they've been in the Final Four the last 2 years, right? They won the pennant two years ago. They were in the National League Championship Series last year. They got off to a really slow start, which helped the Braves build a lead, but they're going to have a healthy Bryce Harper from opening day, which is something they didn't have last year. So I think they're a really good team. I think the Braves are better than them over the course of 162 games, but give us another Braves-Phillies playoff series. I'll take that. And we'll see what happens with them, because I think they're certainly a team that is capable of winning the World Series.
Well, in the Central, it'd be fun to see the Cubs get there. It's a little bit of a longer shot, but if everybody's competing,
yeah.
Is it the return of the Big Red Machine?
Well, they might be. I mean, they're a really fun team. They're very young, and I don't think you can necessarily guarantee that the production that they got out of their young players last year is going to be the same as this year. There are going to be some guys that take a step forward. There are going to be others that take a step back. But their pitching depth is in way better shape than it was at any point last year. They certainly play the game with an exciting style, and they have Ellie De La Cruz, who is one of the most, if not the most exciting player outside of Ronald Acuna in the National League. I mean, switch hitter with power and speed, and throws 100 miles an hour across the diamond from shortstop. And also, me he's too. Like 6'5". Yeah, I know. He's basically you, right? If you were 6'5".
Exactly. So, they say I'm five inches shorter, but an exact duplicate. In the West, you're in Arizona. You do D-backs games quite often. The D-backs and Rangers were this most improbable run to the World Series in a crazy playoffs last year. What's the situation in the West? I mean, everybody just says automatically the Dodgers, but where are the D-backs going to be?
Well, I mean, I think it is kind of, I mean, the Dodgers are the clear favorites. The Diamondbacks are a good team, though, too. I mean, I think they are a better team on paper than the one that won the pennant a year ago. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to win the pennant again this year, but they added Eduardo Rodriguez as a free agent to their rotation. They traded for Eugenio Suarez from the Mariners. They've added depth in their position player group with Jock Peterson and signing Randall Grichuk as a free agent. They brought back Lourdes Gurriel. So, like, this is a very good team. They're probably better than San Francisco and San Diego right now. San Diego still has some star power. The Giants have a lot of guys. They're actually kind of similar to the Cubs, right? And maybe their pitching isn't quite in the same order, at least in the rotation. But they're a team that has a lot of guys that are really solid players and maybe no superstar. And I think it's even after the signing of Matt Chapman. They should hit for more power this year with the addition of Chapman and Jorge Soler. But they're probably behind the Diamondbacks in that. So I think the D-backs are in a great position to make the postseason, but they're probably going to have to go on the road for the wild card round again, because I'm not sure that anybody can catch the Dodgers.
If you go to the AL West, Rangers won it all last year. They're not the division champs, though, are they?
No, they weren't. This year. It was Houston. And I'm not sure that they're going to be. I'm not sure that they're going to be this year either, because they have 3 starting pitchers that aren't going to be available to them until the second half of the season. Max Scherzer, Scherzer might be in the first half at some point in June, but he's coming off a procedure on his shoulder and neck. Jacob DeGrom coming back from a second Tommy John surgery, you know, only made 11 starts, I think, for them a year ago. Tyler Molly, who they signed as a free agent from the Twins, isn't going to be back till the second half. So there's some big uncertainty in their rotation, but it's a really, really good position player group. And if not Jackson Holliday, who you referenced before as the likely rookie of the year, it's probably Wyatt Langford, who was their first round draft pick last season out of Florida. And all he did was slug like almost 700 in the minor leagues. And has been hitting third in spring training games and is just starting to go off. And he might be a 35 homer, 110 RBI monster every year in the middle of the lineup, which is crazy to think that they're going to have return the entire starting outfield from a World Series team. And Leody Tavares will end up being their fourth outfielder. So between Lankford and Evan Carter, who's still technically a rookie, even though we saw him star in the World Series, both of those guys, I think, are really talented. Their offense should be very good with them and Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. It's just a matter of whether or not they have enough starting pitching, and the Astros feel like they're in a little better position there. I mean, the Astros have been to seven straight ALCSs. That's just incredible.
Yeah, how about that? I still remember the Sports Illustrated cover when they finished last, and there was a prediction they were going to come in 2017.
Yeah, and then they did. Yeah,
and they did.
They banged their trash cans all the way to a championship.
Exactly. Good for them. Meanwhile, I'm more delusional than the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, so I still think the White Sox could make a run. But the AL Central, it's probably the Tigers, Cleveland, or Twins, yeah?
Most likely, yeah. And I would probably put the Twins at the top of that list. The Tigers are really interesting because their pitching feels like it's win now. But they really didn't do much to address their offense this winter, and that was by design. They have some young hitters that they like, including Colt Keith, who they signed to an extension before the season started, who'll be their second baseman, who they feel like are going to be solid regulars. They're not super deep in the position player group in their system, but they have belief in Keith, Jace Young, who's the younger brother of Rangers third baseman Josh Young, and another guy named Justin Henry Molloy, who sounds like he should be teaching at Oxford. But instead, he's a right-handed hitter with incredible patience out of Georgia Tech. So those guys, I think, probably will get opportunities this year. The question is whether or not they'll help. Cleveland, we don't know how much their offense is going to hinder them this year. They just don't have a lot of power. The last time the Guardians had a 20-homer hitter in the outfield was Michael Brantley in 2014. So they
Amazing.
Have lacked.
That's 10
it's
years.
Incredible. Yeah. So what's more incredible to you? That or that the last time a Giants hitter hit 30 was Barry Bonds in 2004.
Well, that, frankly.
I mean,
because
that's
in that park, you it seems like you'd get somebody that could pop 30 when the wind's right.
Yeah, I mean, it is not the best hitter's park in the league, but there are some avenues to it. It's the Cleveland's offense is a major concern. The Royals are at least interesting.
I think you're saying, and this is important for the kids to hear this, roid up. Because if you want a shot in the Bay Area, roid up and roid up as fast as you can.
I'm not saying that would be the right idea, Steve, for any.
No, that's not optimal.
For all you kids at home, Steve's advice may not be the best for that. But
now, the Yankees in the East have to win. They haven't been in the World Series since Derek Jeter was in diapers at this point. It's been a long drought. The Reggie candy bar was still on the shelves, I think, the last time they were.
Whitey Ford in the World started Series. Game one.
Right. Babe Ruth was but a boy. No, they've got, I think it's been 14
still
years.
Still with the Red Sox.
Yeah, they have to win. But I'm telling you, man, this feels like an Orioles run.
So it's going to be really interesting. The Orioles have a couple of key injuries, right? Kyle Bradish, who was their game one starter in the playoffs last year, is going to be slowed by an elbow issue, and they don't really have a timeline for when he'll return, although it doesn't seem like he'll need surgery. Felix Bautista, who is their man mountain dean of a closer, I mean, his literal nickname is the Mountain, who's turned into an elite relief pitcher, is out for the year, and they replace him with Craig Kimbrell, who has been very consistent over the last several seasons, as both Sox and Cub fans know. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a path for other teams. The Yankees are better. Like they made moves this winter. They added three outfielders, not the least of which was Juan Soto, that will make their offense better. You know, the other two, Trent Grisham, really good defender from San Diego, Alex Verdugo, who was a line drive hitter who will probably play mostly left. They have a chance to be a much better team than they were a year ago if their starting pitching can stay healthy. But they too lack depth in that group. They're counting on Marcus Stroman being a big part of that rotation. He was one of their key free agent signings as well. I really like that Yankees team. I think they will push Baltimore at the top of that division. And you know, we shouldn't sleep on Toronto. There's still a lot of talent on that team. I know they have underachieved, but if there were a team that you could see jump up and exceed expectations, I would think it would be the Jays, just because they haven't quite met them to this point. And we know that randomness does play a pretty significant factor in the results of the baseball season.
All right. So World Series, I'm going to go boring straight ahead. Pick the Faves, Orioles, Braves.
Yeah. I don't know that. See, I haven't given the picks much thought yet. I'll say Houston to be even more boring. And I'll go Phillies. We'll do a rematch of 21. How's that? But I reserve the right to change my mind 12 times before opening.
And will it be garbage can night for game one at the series?
Every fan will be able to take their own home to alert. Could you imagine if you were able to alert your mom that you wanted dinner by using the garbage can? Hey, Mom, ham sandwich.
You know, you were the end of the era where you had to be locked outside every summer and you played baseball all day. Yeah. And he only went back home afterwards. And the closest thing to his cell phone was the phone that was stuck to the wall. I don't know about kids in baseball anymore. I worry about the greater health of the game because not enough little kids are playing and the greatest talents coming out of Central America and all that. But we'll take that up another time because I've taken too much of your time already. But I appreciate
it. Oh, you'd never do that.
But I appreciate you nerding out with me on this stuff. You know how much I love baseball. And I'm looking forward to a great baseball summer in Chicago because, again, I'm that delusional.
Well, these are two of my favorite things, baseball and Steve Cochran. So
there you go.
It's great to be with you, and I always love it. Now, I just wish you would call me not around big events. Like, maybe sometime you can call me on, like, June 12th or something just to shoot the breeze.
I've already got you penciled in for White Sox Bankruptcy Day, which is it's part of refinancing weekend. Jerry's put it on the promotional calendar. So, come on, Sox. That's the great Mike Farron. Plugs. When are you on?
I'm on 9 to noon Central Time every morning. It's great. As soon as your show's over, you can come and join us and listen to baseball talk for 3 hours a day. And then I'll do a lot of Atlantic Coast Conference baseball for ESPN. So mostly Thursday nights, I think, on ACC Network is where you'll find
me. Ew. Yeah. And by the way, there's nothing to listen to after I go off the air anyway. So you might as well make sure you're tuned up on baseball. The great Mike Farron. Follow you on social where?
Mike_Farron on the I still call it Twitter.
On the Twitter. CX, boys and girls. I don't want Elon Musk fighting with me. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, I think we've learned a lot, not from Trump, but from Mike Farron. Thank you, Mike. And check the show notes for when you can hear Mike anytime. And that's ESPN. And also, of course, on your SiriusXM situation. So the deal is this. I am about to say goodnight for another Live from My Office because, it gets to be 7 or 8 o'clock where that's the time where I am. And I got to go to bed. I'm like a toddler. But I love that you listen. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you can. And also, please listen to the radio show, however you consume radio these days, on your smart speakers, on your smart devices, stream from anywhere, all of those things. And you can listen to me on an actual radio, too, if you're in the Great Midwest or in Chicago, on WLSAM 890 every morning from 5:30 to 9. Thank you, Ross Cochran, for producing Live from My Office, and thank you for listening. See you next time on Live from My Office.
Thank you for listening to Live from My Office, a service of Monkey Run Productions. All rights reserved. The podcast is hosted by Steve Cochran, and it's mixed, edited, and produced by me, Ross Cochran. Steve is available for corporate speaking gigs. He would love to MC your event, and occasionally, he's funny. Thank you for listening. Head to CochranShow.com for more.